Well, good morning. It's good to see you here this day. And I hope you all didn't feel too much like I was cracking the whip last week. Ed came up to me and said, "Pastor, we can't let you go to general counseling where you come back and you crack the whip on us." Well, I'm going to crack the whip a little bit more again this week. We're going to continue in the vein of last week, just a little bit. And a building on that whole thing about we're seeking after God's will for us here at Northbrook. And we know that God's will is that we do the work of the Great Commission, which is reaching out and bringing in those who don't know Christ to them, because that's what He says His will is. Simple. He said it. He said it in the Great Commission passage. We're going to look at that right now. Matthew chapter 28. Starting with our 18th verse. It said, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity we have to study your word, to get into it, to have you apply it to our lives and show us how each one of us has a part to play in your will. How you've created each one of us special and have given each one of us work to do. Lord, show us what that work is. Show us how to apply this to our lives so that we might be obedient to you, your will, and your word. Father God, I pray for myself that as I come and preach this morning that your Holy Spirit would be upon me in power and in truth. That it would be your words that I speak. That I would speak encouragement and blessing, even if you, Lord, give me words of correction to speak. Might it be your name which is lifted up and glorified. Might your people indeed be blessed. Lord, I pray that you would touch every person here this morning, that not one would wonder whether or not they met with you this day, but they would just be in wonder over having been with you this day. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I made a couple of bold statements. I said, "You will all have opportunity to be mad at me." It's true. You're going to get mad at me. As we seek after the Lord's will and as we do things different around here, again, what are those different things, Pastor? I don't know yet. How am I going to know what they are? I'll know when you pray. And the Lord speaks to me, the elders, and to you, the congregation. Because we will be unified in the direction that the Lord gives us if we are unified in seeking His will and listening to Him. He'll show us what it is that we, the body of Christ, as represented here at Northbrook, are supposed to do to fulfill this passage and the other passages of Scripture, which tell us to go out and share the gospel and tell us what that means. What does it look like? Who is it that we're supposed to talk to, for heaven's sakes? Now, some of us say, "I don't know. I want to look at a couple of models for evangelism that we see in Scripture. But before I do that, I want to take a little bit closer look at this passage this morning. Just real quick. We have a command here Therefore, go and make disciples. And the passage, which I've mentioned before, and you've probably heard from other people, is that literally that there as you go, or therefore go, is like as you're going about your daily life, as you're going through life. It's this. It's not supposed to be just go and make disciples and you're done, but as you go, whatever you're doing, you're supposed to be making disciples. As you're going through life, as you're going through, make disciples. Okay, what's a disciple? You tell me to make them? What is it? Reasonable question. I look behind me and I see somebody following me and ask, and I turn around and say, what are you doing here? I just want to follow you and know what it is you're about. That's a disciple. The guy behind me. Now, I'm not trying to create disciples of Bruce, so you'll notice there's nobody behind me. This is a good thing, in my opinion. What we want are disciples of Jesus. We're just supposed to be creating disciples of Jesus. How do I make somebody follow Jesus? You can't. Okay, you told me I have to make disciples of Jesus. Now you told me I can't. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that makes them a disciple or not. It's the Holy Spirit that works in somebody's heart or not. We got the easy job, folks. Our job is just to introduce them. All we have to do is say, hello, John, this is Jesus. Jesus, this is John. Well, Jesus already knew that, but you know, it's always polite. And you introduce them. That's how you make a disciple. If it's somebody who is really hungry and who the Holy Spirit has prepared, they will then follow Jesus. That's what a disciple is, a follower of Jesus. That's what we're trying to make. We're trying to make the followers of Jesus. Now we have in here, make disciples of all nations. So who's excluded from this disciple-making process? Nobody. Everybody, every group, all nations, all ethnos, all people groups, all age groups, you name the group, it, and they're included in this. This is an all-encompassing type. So, okay, now you're getting a little heavy here. I'm supposed to introduce everybody to Jesus? Yes and no. There's nobody who's excluded. But we're supposed to bring those to Jesus who are ready to meet Jesus. How do we know that? God chose us. How do we know which one God is pointing out to us? He tells us. How do we know that? Because we're listening to Him. He'll give us a little nudge. Shouldn't you be talking to that person? Yeah, I should. Shouldn't you be telling them about me? Yeah, I should. Well, then do it. You ever sat down someplace and saw somebody there and had a perfect opportunity to say something and didn't choke it down? I know I have. Some of us are really good at choking it down and pretending that we never even heard. No, la, la, God, I can't hear you. Talk to me now. It would be so inconvenient for me to start talking with this person. And, you know, that person doesn't look anything like me. They believe I think they're of a different political party. I think that they're of a different socioeconomic scale. I mean, they probably got a doctorate. You know, I'm sitting over here with my, you know, Bible college degree. You know, it's not even a big name university. They're not going to. No, if God tells us to talk to somebody, we don't minimize. He put us there to talk to them. We might be just one person watering one seed. Somebody else planted earlier. We might be the one planting the original seed. So everybody, go to all nations, all disciples. Okay, quickly, I want to move through this we have this prayer, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember what baptism is. Baptism is a public profession that you've committed to follow Christ. That's what baptism is. Granted, you get wet in the process. We can all use that from time to time. A little washing. And that's what it's symbolic of, is getting clean, getting rid of all the stuff from the world and becoming new and following the Lord. Baptism is a public demonstration, publicly saying, I'm going to follow the Lord. So I'm supposed to introduce people, and they say, yeah, I like this guy, I'm going to follow him. Okay, well, we're going to get you baptized. Then we do the next part, which is, and teaching them all to obey everything I have commanded you. Oh, so probably the best way for me to teach is by example. So maybe I better obey too, right? So we're obeying, and we're teaching by example. But notice that they didn't have to get Christianized, they didn't have to learn to follow all the rules before they committed to follow Jesus. See, sometimes we get this all backwards. We want to teach them to obey all the rules. We want to teach them to follow God. We want to teach them, okay, this is the correct theology about God. You know, don't listen to the other church across the street. They're wrong. We're right over here. No. Okay, first off, we don't have a lock on the correct theology. In fact, I wasn't going to guess that we probably don't have everything absolutely right. Okay? We try. But we got the essentials down. The essentials are Jesus is Lord and Savior. Salvation is only through Him. And we have to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior in order to be saved. Okay? And if you do so, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're now saved. You've been marked with the Holy Spirit. You're a child of God. You're guaranteed the kingdom of heaven. We still haven't taught you how to follow all the rules yet, though. You still haven't learned to obey everything. You still don't know what it is you're supposed to obey. That's okay. It's a lifelong process. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts us and shows us what's wrong and changes things in His timing. Sometimes we want to fix people up ahead of time. Get them the right haircut, the right clothes. Luckily for that, that's not an issue here. No, we're not big on haircuts and clothes. But some places are. Maybe we have some things that we don't realize are those that were hindrances that we're putting out there. What I'm trying to point out here is we don't fix people up to introduce them to Jesus. We don't fix people up. They have to get to a certain level before they can accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and decide that they're going to follow Him. The only part they have to come to is the understanding that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They get that part, they say, I want to follow Him. Hallelujah. It's called a disciple. At this point, we say, welcome into the family of God. We do that by attempting to drown them. No. We do baptize by immersion, but usually I get them up before they drown. Haven't had anybody stay down yet. So that would. That's good. So we're not supposed to do those things. We're supposed to trust in God. God will make sure I pull you up. And I have commanded everything I've commanded. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. If we do it the way God has told us, and we're making disciples and baptizing and then instructing, God's going to be with us in this process. Okay. Now, Pastor, you said something about three different models. I like models. I like to have an ABC. Tell me how to do it. Okay, if I do one, two, three, I'm going to make a disciple. Okay, well, here's three different models. New Christians get it all easy. They get to use the first model, which is, I got to read it. It's in here somewhere. The Andrew and Philip model. What's the Andrew and Philip model? Well, Andrew was there with this weird guy called John the Baptist, and he was discipling under John, and John says, "Behold, the light of the world." And Andrew says, "Wow, this guy? I'm going to follow him." And after he followed him for a while, he went back to his brother, Peter, and said, "Hey, Peter, you got to come check this guy out. This is the guy we've been looking for. This is the one that the Scripture talks about." Philip, same thing. He goes to his brother. He says, "Hey, bro, come look. This is the one." Jesus had already called him to follow. And once he's following Jesus, he said, "My brother's been looking for this guy too. I'm going to go tell him about it." See, this is the one that our new Christians use. Because their friends, their immediate family, the people who they're close relationship, they haven't met Jesus yet. Now, those of us who have been Christian for a while have already told all our friends, all our family about Jesus. Some of them have listened and some of them said, "Eh." That doesn't mean we shouldn't stop telling them, but pretty much that model's gotten tired for us. We've tapped it out. You know, you only have so many brothers and sisters. I could go to my folks and say, "Hey, you know, I could use some more siblings. I got to talk about Jesus." That would be difficult at this point in time. Well, maybe I could have kids and we could tell them about Jesus. "Oh, did that, done that. They've all accepted Christ. Donna, can we have more kids?" "No." Okay, we're not doing that. Guess we're going to have to find another model. We tapped that one out. It's a good model. People came to know Christ. But now I've kind of tapped it out. Next model. Samaritan woman. Remember her story? Jesus came to her, told her about that well of living water. "You should be asking me for a drink. I'm asking you for a drink, but you should be the one asking for a drink from me," he's telling her. And he tells her all about the fact that she's not living the most godly life. And she goes to the people who won't associate with her because she is living this godless life, but people who know who she is by reputation. I mean, she lives in a small town. Everybody knows everybody's business. But she goes to these people who aren't family, aren't even necessarily friends, but they're people she knows. And she says, "Hey, could this be the guy? He told me everything about me. Come check him out. I'm going to go check him out." Well, this is a model that can work for a while. But once we've reached our community, those whom we interact with, maybe it's work, maybe it's school, maybe it's our neighborhood. Once we've fished that pond out, you say, "Well, now who do I reach?" Now, this one can last for quite a while. And we can get new ones more often than we can get new siblings. It's easier to get a new pond here. We just moved the house. It's not working so good over here. Well, you know what? I'm going to buy a house over in that neighborhood. I haven't seen any of those people. There are people who do this. And if the Lord's leading you to do that, go ahead, do it. He'll bless it. I wouldn't suggest doing it just on whim, though. But as the Lord takes us from place to place, remember these people. Right, so we have that Samaritan woman model. Doesn't even have to be people who think anything of us, but we just say, hey, this guy, he knows a lot. He knew all about me. Could he be the one? And we invite them to come. Our third model is the most lasting model and the most robust. It's the Jesus model, of course. We know it was going to be the best one, right? How many of you knew I was going to have the Jesus model for the last one? You had a couple hands. But it's true. And what was Jesus' model of evangelism? We'll go to John chapter 5 and look at verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. Yes, to your amazement, He will show Him even greater things than these. I'm going to stop there. Because let's talk about the miracles and different things. But I believe every person who comes to Christ is a miracle. Probably the biggest miracle each of us experience on a personal level. But Jesus says, I'm just doing what Dad said to do. I'm following Him around and doing what He's doing. That's Jesus' model for ministry. Jesus' model for finding new disciples. As He was going, He came along somebody and got Father, the Holy Spirit would say, that one. And then Jesus would go over and say, come, follow me. Some came and followed Him, and some went away sad because they couldn't give up what Jesus asked them to give up. Say, come, follow me. Jesus went to where they were, wherever it was. The woman at the well, He went to her. He went to the disciples of John the Baptist. He went to John the Baptist, those people who were following Him. He went there and said, come, follow me. He went to the temple and said, come, follow me. He went through the city and, oh, there's this guy Levi collecting taxes. You, follow me. You say, well, that's the Jesus model. I'm not Jesus. How can I do that? You know, first off, come, follow me. Doesn't work so good. Okay. You just say, I don't want to follow you. But how about if I say, come, let's meet Jesus. We kind of combine the Jesus model with the Andrew model. And what we see is us going out where the people are, presenting the gospel, saying, here's Jesus. Here He is. Follow Him. Just like I do. And we can do it the way Jesus did it. How did Jesus do it? By following God's direction. By following the Father. Doing what it was the Father was doing. He didn't do His own thing. So, that's what we need to be looking for, is what is it that God wants us to do? There are a ton, literally a million different possibilities or more of things that we could do that are good. But we don't want to do good. We want to do God's will. But you say, God's will is good. Okay, what we're looking for is best. And that's God's will. What we want to do is to find out what it is God wants us to be doing now. Now, it's going to be more than just one thing. But it is going to be focused. Because, quite frankly, we don't have 3,000 people here, so we're not going to have, you know, 150 different projects going on. We don't have the personnel to handle it. God's not going to give us a task that we can't do. You say, anything is possible with God. Well, if God truly wanted us to do those 1,500 things, I'm sure, or 150 things, He would somehow manage to do that, probably by growing us, or maybe some other methodology. And if He has that for us, we will grow to that size to be able to handle those tasks. But what we need to be seeking is what the Father's doing here, where we are, Brooklyn Center, Columbia Heights, Fridley, Coon Rapids, Brooklyn Park, Minneapolis, Crystal. I think that's most of you. Idaho. There's a smart one in every bunch. Yeah, we're praying that God drags them back here. So here we are. We're praying. I'm asking you to pray. Tonight, 6 o'clock, is prayer. I probably won't be there. But Pastor, you asked us to pray. Why aren't you going to be there at the prayer meeting? Well, I got a cousin who's graduating down in Janesville, Minnesota, down by Mankato, and I got to go down there with my mother and sisters this afternoon. And I don't know if I'm going to be back by 6. I might, but I have to tell you, I may not. But I'm still going to ask you to meet and pray. And I'm going to get back here when I can, and I'll pray. And if anybody's here to pray with me, I'll pray with them. If there's nobody here, well, then, you know, I'll pray by myself. I'll pray on the way. But maybe you can't make it to be here at 6 o'clock for prayer. Can you pray? Will you covenant to pray? If you can be here, we can gather together. We can have the encouragement of the saints gathering together and praying in agreement. That's always a good thing. God tells us that He listens to those prayers and that He leads through those things. Say, but Pastor, prayer is so boring. Talking to the person you love the most in the universe is boring? Then you're doing it wrong. Donna is my second most favorite person in the universe. I love talking with her. Sometimes we do it from separate rooms. Kind of like praying. Sometimes we do it close, next to each other in bed. I think Donna and I talk best on the cell phone. But you see, we talk in different ways and different methods at different times. We don't always do it the same way. Prayer with God is the same. Different ways, different times, different methods, different lengths of period of time. Sometimes we do more talking than listening. Sometimes we listen more than we talk. Sometimes Donna just needs to get something off. You know, something's really, she's had a tough day or something's bothering her and she's just got to, you know, like, I could have set down the phone and walked away and she wouldn't know. You know, I come back 20 minutes, you know. Okay, it's not 20 minutes. Donna's not that. But I could. I don't. Why? Because I care and I'm listening. Occasionally I give a grunt. Let her know that there's still somebody on the other end. Oh, no, you're kidding. Oh. Yeah. Those husbandly sounds. Let her know that, yes, she is communicating to me. Sometimes it's the other way around. Now, I'm sure it was somebody else, probably wasn't you, but sometimes people at the church got me upset. It was probably a different group. And yeah, it was the last church. Nobody at this church has ever done that. Today. And I just have to tell her about it. And Donna makes soothing noises and goes, yeah. She's reading her magazine. Why not? But I know she's listening. Right there. Prayer is talking to God. Now, God is always listening to us. Sometimes we're not always listening to Him. Sometimes we talk so long, we say, okay, God, thanks for listening. God said, I didn't get to say anything. Give Him a chance to get a word in. Because it's as we follow what God's doing, as we see what it is that He's doing, that we're going to be able to say, yep, this is where I'm supposed to go. See, that's kind of what a disciple of Christ is all about, is following God, doing what it is that He wants us to do. And if God's over here saying, I want you over here, He wants us to go where He is. Now, somebody else can say, hold it, I see God over here. Don't worry, God can do different things with different people. He doesn't have to bring us all in the same direction at the same time. There might be a few of us here that He brings over in this direction, maybe to deal with a particular issue or person or whatever. He might bring a few of us over here. But He is guiding all of us, and He will guide us as a body. And the ultimate glory and purpose of this guidance is what? God's glory. Not our glory, His glory. People coming to know Christ is God's glory. And I forgot to write down what verse that is. But now I can't remember. It's in there. Okay? It's in here. It says that. In fact, this is your homework assignment. It's like, find it. Okay. I'm asking you to pray. We're going to be in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be stepping out and seeing where it is the Lord leads us. And it's through the prayers of you that the Lord is going to speak. He's going to lead. He's going to bring opportunities before us. And some of these opportunities are going to be the ones that we want to do, because that's where the Lord is leading us. And some are going to be things where we say, no, God isn't taking us in that direction. He doesn't take all the bodies of Christ in the same direction all the time. Sometimes He takes us in different directions because He's given us each different tasks to do. This congregation has been planted here in this area to touch these people. God is going to tell us how. So let's pray. Father, we thank You that we can and will do Your will if we can and will listen to You in prayer. And Lord, we can listen to You. It's all a matter of whether we will or not. Whether we will seek Your face and seek to follow You in Your Holy Spirit. That we will watch You so closely that we'll see where it is that You're going. That we can do the same thing that You're doing. Just as Jesus did, Lord. As Jesus walked, He said He didn't do anything that He didn't see the Father doing. He did nothing on His own. Lord, we don't want to do anything on our own here. We want to seek Your will. Lord, we pray that You would give us eyes to see You moving. Give us ears to hear Your voice. And give us hands and hearts willing to do the work that You give us, even if it makes us uncomfortable. Even if it stretches our comfort zones. Lord, we give this all to you. We ask your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close by singing the doxology.